I'd like to draw your attention to that first epistle of John through which I've been reading. First John and the second chapter, verses 18 and 19. I'll read from verse 15. 1 John chapter 2, reading from verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. For they went out, that they might be made manifest, that none of them were of us. Amen. Well, two verses loaded with meaning. He addresses them, as he has done before, to little children. Little children, of course, are very vulnerable. They need protecting. There are dangers which would threaten them. And John, as a father figure in the faith, addresses this section in particular to these believers who I don't think are literally little children. But they are little children in need of defence because there are predators. And he begins by saying, it is the last hour. Now, John wrote this a long time ago. He didn't mean then, literally, the last hour. It would have taken several days or weeks, perhaps, for this letter even to have been received. But it's late in the day. Often when we speak of the second coming, you'll hear Christians say, well, I think we're living in the last times. Well, we are, by definition. We usually mean within the next decade or the next couple of years, Jesus will come back. And yet, John, by saying it is the last hour, is indicating that the final act has begun. Now, the curtain on this world will be drawn. Jesus will come back. He will usher in this wonderful kingdom, of which we are already part, but of its glories we cannot yet see. The last hour arguably began at the resurrection. And he says, you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. Evidently, the early church were talking about this figure, this individual. John uses the term Antichrist. Paul talks of another figure, a son of perdition, a man of lawlessness. In Revelation, we have a term, the beast, and many believers think they are, in fact, describing the same individual. And yet John makes it clear, even if there is a final manifestation, a final figure or character upon the world stage, in fact, there are other versions of him which have already been and gone. It's an intriguing title, is it not? An Antichrist. Scripture speaks much of Christ, and yet here we have Antichrist. Well, what does it mean? Well, anti in the Greek can mean against. It can mean in place of. Arguably, anyone who puts himself in place of Christ is also against Christ. Some of us this evening studied the Westminster Catechism. for reasons best known to that publisher, they missed this bit out. But the writers of the Westminster Catechism were very clear. They thought that the Antichrist in question was in fact the papacy. After all, there is a man who claims to be the vicar of Christ. What does vicar mean? It means substitute, in place of Christ. And anyone who says, well, if you want to come to Jesus, you come through me, such as an Antichrist. But yet John talks about, even there in the first century when he was writing, even now many Antichrists have come. Well, presumably they weren't all little popes. But I think John and the Bible has a wider, broader definition of Antichrist. First of all, we know that they went out from us. Evidently, there was an association between these false teachers and the church of which John and his readers are a part. They might almost certainly have identified as believers. Yet somehow they left this community, they left this church, presumably to found an alternative one of their own, and I dare say, as is their custom, they took people with them. We know that John is probably writing against early Gnosticism, and these false teachers may well have subscribed to that formula. They went out from us, but they were not of us. Now, sometimes people leave a church because they're moving to a new area, or they leave a church because they're being commissioned as missionaries. They were from us and they were of us. These people left us, but they were never really of us. They left because they did not like the gospel. They did not like the way we stuck to scripture. They did not like the way we would not water down the deity of Jesus Christ. They left us because they did not like the fact that we kept preaching Christ crucified. They did not like the way we kept proclaiming the literal resurrection from the dead. Therefore they went out from us. They were never of us, but they left us and they founded their alternatives. And I dare say that, and I believe there will be a final Antichrist which warrants the capital A, the New King James translators have given the word in verse 18. There will be a final figure who will be dealt with by the Lord at his return. And yet there have been many, many little men and women who have come in the meantime, leading people astray, offering salvation through themselves instead of through the gospel. Whether it be Jim Jones in the sticky jungles of Guyana, or whether it be in Texas with David Koresh, was it? All these cult leaders who say, come and follow me. What, follow Jesus? No, not him, follow me. These people have always been around. And if the Lord tarries, they will continue to be around. There are always false gospels and false leaders and those who claim access to Christ. And what do these little antichrists always do? They lead people astray. And they denigrate or belittle or subtract from the glory, deity and authority of Jesus Christ. That they always have in common, though the differences otherwise will be there. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. The Christian is called to endure. The Christian is called to stand firm. The Christian is called to believe and to keep on believing. Not being led astray, not following a fashion, not going after this man or that man or flying to this Canadian city or that. But they went out that they might be made manifest, that they might be exposed for what they are, that none of them were of us. All the cults, they not only deny the saving power of Jesus Christ, but they also take away from Scripture. Either by saying, oh no, 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 we have our own special band of anonymous translators and only they can translate it accurately. Or they say, oh no, it's translated accurately, but it really needs a supplement, another volume to help us understand it. Or they say, no, no, we believe in the Bible, but in order to be true to the faith, we need a whole heap of tradition and we need a man on the top to tell us how to interpret it. You couldn't possibly go away and read it on your own. You'd come up with all manner of false teaching. How ironic. Well, John addresses them as little children. And we are to be as little children, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Yet even though we are little children, we are to be on our guard. I can remember when I was at primary school, I can remember the lesson. It was the end of the day. And whether something had happened, I was actually living in Kendal at the time, whether something had happened in that town, I don't know. But our primary school teacher called us together. Said, look, I need to tell you something. There is a man who drives a car and he invites children to look at puppies. And if that happens, you've got to run away. You don't even talk to him. Well, I developed a real fear, as you might imagine, of men with puppies who drove cars. But it kept me alive. And John says things here which seem to be quite scary. He's not just saying, look, there are false teachers out there. He calls them an antichrist. That's quite a scary title. And if we are little children, we are to be aware of this. So our faith ought to be childlike. We ought to have a simple trust in Jesus Christ, without guile, without malice, and yet we are to be on our guard. We're told it's the last hour. You know, that really is good news. And it was the last hour when John was writing. If it was the last hour when John was writing, there can't be that much of the hour left, at least I hope. You know, the time is coming when little children won't need to be on their guard in every way of understanding that phrase. The time is coming when the people who were of us, but who left us but were never of us, will no more lead people astray. The time is coming when religious groups will never again decry the proper deity and glory of Jesus Christ. But in the meantime, we are to be on our guard, like little children. Amen. Amen.